Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
I want to read from 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. This is what it says. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. That's what we're going to talk about today. That's where we're going to camp out and spend some time. So if you have your Bible, you can open up there and just kind of be following along a little bit. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and let's just surrender this time to him. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we give you thanks and praise for how you're meeting us right where we are this morning. Thank you for meeting me where I am this morning. I just pray for this time now, this next minutes, we just give to you. We ask, Lord, that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds to receiving from you what you would want to speak into our hearts, not only our ears, but into our hearts as well. So Holy Spirit, we invite you. We know you're here already, but we invite you into this time. We invite you into this moment. Just work mightily, do your thing. Do even the thing of breaking down the very idols of self. There's people that don't even know what that means yet, Lord. But I pray that you'd still do that kind of work. Work in us, Lord. Please work in us. We know left to ourselves, we're screwed. We need you. Do your thing right now. Pray boldly in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, John, we've been going through this series that we're calling What's Next? And we're looking at 1 John chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And today we're closing off the series. Next Sunday, we're actually going to be kind of a standalone series. We're going to be doing next week is our 2-year anniversary, which is really exciting. So plan on not having any lunch figured out or anything. We're going to provide lunch. We're going to have bounce house out here. It's just going to be kind of a celebration, honestly, next Sunday. And so we hope you're able to be here and bring a bunch of friends and all that kind of stuff. But as we're kind of closing off and walking out kind of this last part of this series, I'm amazed by how John ends here. I'm amazed by how he ends. Keep yourselves from idols. But he's really ending the book like he started the book. He's ending with an emphasis on Jesus. He's ending by highlighting how important God is. That's what 1 John is all about. It's about God and what he's doing. And this really has been I don't know if anybody's ever like read through the Bible. Don't probably do that if you're kind of new to the faith or something. That's a toughie to do that. Don't do that. But if you've just kind of like read through or read parts of it, you'll start to realize that that's what Scripture's all about. It's about God. It's not about amazing people who've done amazing things for God. It's about an amazing God who's working in the midst of a bunch of ordinary people and doing amazing things for them. That's what it's all about. It's about him. It's about who he is. It's about his majesty, his awesomeness. He's the Mac Daddy Caddy. It's about him. It's about him and what he has done for you. His interacting with you. His coming to dwell in our midst. It's the name of our church. This is what he does, and we're actually should be caught off guard by that. Really? He'd come and dwell with us? He'd come and be with us? Yeah. That's the gospel. That's what's incredible. And it's all about him. And it always has been about him. And it always will be about him. I mean, as I think about this is what all of the Bible talks about. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 and 3. This is the laying out of the Ten Commandments. Do you remember the Ten Commandments? How does that go? How does that go? First it says something like, I am the Lord your God who's brought you out of Egypt. That's really important to ground the Ten Commandments in the gospel. To ground the Ten Commandments in what God has done for them already. I've brought you out of Egypt. And then what does he say? He starts into the Ten Commandments, right? And the first commandment is, don't have any other gods. Don't do that. And he says this right after he's like, I just brought you out of Egypt. I just saved you. I love you like crazy. Are you kidding me? And so it's not the, and I've preached on this before, right? It's not the Sean Connery God, you know? You shall have no other gods. No, he's not like he's mad. It's just, don't have any other gods before me. Of course not. Of course don't have any other gods before me. I brought you out of Egypt. How does Jesus teach it in Matthew? In Matthew's gospel, he says, love the Lord your God with all your soul, might, strength. Love the Lord your God. What's the greatest commandment? To love God. To not have any other gods. To love him and him alone. That's the first and greatest commandment. It's all about him. It's about who he is. It's about his awesomeness. Don't have any other idols. Of course not. Of course you wouldn't have any other idols. Look at how much he's loved you. Look how much he's done for you. He's gone to the cross for you. He saved you. He's at work in your life even now. Are you kidding me? And you want to have other gods? See, what is this? What, when he says don't have any other idols, don't have idols, don't do that kind of stuff, what's he talking about? What is really, like, even an idol? Because when we think about idols, we think about, like, statues, right? We think about things you bow down to. Think about the golden calf, if you know your Bible a little bit. Or you think about, you know, different things, objects. That's what you're thinking about when you think of idols. It's interesting. I was listening in a little bit to a pastor this past week, Tim Keller. He's a pastor in Manhattan that I sometimes follow and I listen to a little bit. He's kind of a pastor, theologian, but he's also like kind of a philosopher. And I've really latched on to some of the stuff he says. And I love this. He wrote a book called Counterfeit Gods. And this is what he says, I'm just kind of quoting here. He says this, a counterfeit God is anything that's so central and essential to your life that should you lose it, your life would feel hardly worth living. See, now all of a sudden, it already begins to expand beyond just a statue. An idol has such a controlling position in your heart that you can spend most of your passion and energy, your emotional and financial resources on it without a second thought. It's where you push energy. It's where you push time. It's where you push financial resources. What are you really connected to? Listen, then he goes on. This is a little bit later. He says this, an idol is whatever you look at and say in your heart of hearts, if I have that, then I'll feel like my life has meaning. Then I'll know that I have value. Then I'll feel significant and I'll feel secure. Wow. Ultimate happiness. Ultimately, where do I find my identity? Is it my job? Ultimately, it's where I find security. It's where I find peace. It's where ultimately I find everything. It becomes the awesome thing. What is that? It's interesting. John ends this letter by saying, don't play with idols. Don't mess around with idols, church. Don't mess around with idols, children of God. That's how he's been addressing them all the way through the book. Little children, don't mess with idols. Why does he end like that? Why does he end where he begins with an emphasis on Jesus? Because he knows how damaging this is. Because he knows the biggest slip up that we can slip is to be zeroing in on some other God. some other thing that you would be actually beginning to draw from. And see, we do this, and one of the biggest gods I think out there right now in the West is actually the self. Okay? Because what happens is this: you can begin to control. When this little god starts to not fulfill you, maybe your job. Okay? You have a job that you find fulfillment and ultimate joy and everything from, and that starts to not fulfill you, you can just switch. You switch to a different little god that maybe can give you something more. And so you switch over here to this. See, ultimately, idols can be lots of different things. Ultimately, idols can be anything. Ultimately, it can be anything. And oftentimes, it plays out like this. Follow me here on this. I'm trying to catch you up to my thinking on this all week long, okay? So just, I'm trying to give you time to process a little bit too. But like an idol can be something you're going after. Like, I'm going to go pursue that thing. Like, I'm going to pursue that job or that career. But it can also be something you already have. You can already have the career. And it's just, it sucks everything. You can already have the job. Or you might be in pursuit of the thing. What are the idols that when you just stop and you just spend a little bit of time thinking them, just Seth, just stop talking for a second. Let me think about this. What are those things that just they're there? They kind of creep in at times. And they're the thing that you sometimes begin to focus time and energy and everything all of a sudden becomes your little god. Maybe it's more money. Money will make me happy. More clicks on Amazon. I mean, when I click on Amazon and something's in the mail, I get kind of a excited feeling. Do you have to just click and click and I just need to be able to keep buying on Amazon? Maybe it's that. Now, I'm just going to switch it up here. What about body image? See, I got to try to help you here to think outside and to think. Idols, we want, when we think of 1 John, don't play with idols, don't do the idol thing. We want it to just be a little statue thing because we don't have those. We don't have those in our house, do we? Those of you who watch 5 hours of TV every night, no. We don't have these little idols in our house where we aim all of our couches and everything points right towards it, and we sit down and we give it all of our time. No. Of course, we don't have these like objects that we serve and we give all of our time and attention to. No. Of course not. We don't have that stuff. We got to think of other stuff, maybe like body image. I mean, I'm willing to give everything so that I look this way, so I can feel this way. Maybe it's that. I don't know. What if you were to have that taken away from you? What would that do to you? Would that shake you to your core? It's interesting. I was talking with actually someone very close to me where that very thing kind of happened in a very subtle way. It was very subtle. But this particular person's health had become a kind of tiny little baby little idol. You shall have no other gods before me. Are you kidding me? Why would you have any other gods? I saved you. I love you. I went to the cross for you. I rose from the dead for you. I promised to return one day. I promised to be in your life and work with you today. And you want to have little other gods and find value and all these kinds of things from that? From the fact that you're healthy? Sports, I love. I asked Jackie, I was like, should I even show that? Because I didn't want it to be like that. I'm not after sports. I'm after every single idol that's represented in this room. That's what I'm after with that. It is interesting to me that we spend, I don't know, billions probably of dollars on sports. I'm amazed that a guy who can throw a ball makes more money than a brain surgeon, which I think they're doing okay too, probably. But isn't that a teacher? That is amazing. Isn't that kind of funny? I mean, I definitely have put a cheese head on my head before. Is it success? It doesn't even have to be like a particular job. It's just that I need to be successful. I've struggled with that idol. I've absolutely struggled with that idol. I need to have some kind of success. I want to be able to tell somebody, yeah, like I made it. That's where I draw. What happens when you don't make it? What happens when I'm talking to the pastor who's there at his church and Jesus is literally like, he's allowing that church to go away. And he tells me, God has brought me here to put this church to death. That's not exciting. That's not fun. That's not like something like, woohoo, put me on the magazine cover. No. You don't even hear about that guy. You don't even know that guy exists. I do. I know what it's done to him where he's had to, this is okay. This isn't my identity. I'm a child of God. Maybe it's family. Maybe your marriage is awesome and it's your spouse. It was interesting. Recently, my wife took some of our kids to the doctor. And they're at the doctor, and the doctor made a comment. I wasn't there, so I don't fully understand exactly how it played out. But the doctor said to my wife, she said, man, the kids look, they must look like their dad, or something like that. And my wife was like, yeah, they look a lot like Seth. And so they were talking about that, and Jackie started saying all these nice things about me, and how I love the kids and all this stuff. And then the doctor said to Jackie, she said, the kids must idolize him. And Jackie said she looked at kind of the corner of her eye. She saw the kid's eyes kind of go like, kind of like that. And Jackie didn't say anything. She just kind of kept going with it and rolling with it. Yeah, they love their dad and all this kind of stuff. But later, my younger boy actually was like, hey, Mom, we don't idolize Dad. We don't idolize Dad. I love that. That's a theologian in the making, baby. Gets me excited. We don't, but just cautious on that. But that's, I mean, of course, that's kind of funny and silly. But like, can we actually idolize our kids? That's a struggle for me. That is an idol. That is an idol that I struggle with. Family. I have a great family. Extended, personal, close. What happens if I get a phone call right now that, some of you have gotten this phone call. Your parents have gotten in a car accident or something like that happens. What happens? Does that shake you to your core? I mean, there comes a day, as tempted as I am to make Jacqueline, my wife, an idol, and because our marriage is good, and it's like, the reality is someday I look into either her casket or she looks into mine, right? I mean, at some point, that gets kind of taken away. Is that where I find my ultimate security, my ultimate happiness, my ultimate whatever it might be? Do we not struggle with these things too? I mean, the TV one is a joke, but not really. We struggle. Honestly, God gave me Jacqueline to help, I think, partly meet that idol. I could totally just kick back and blah, 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 blah. It's like, let's keep that in perspective, Seth. Let's see. Yeah, okay, what does that mean? I'm not claiming to know all of necessarily your idols, but it's something to think about. Can religion become an idol? Wow. Can what you think and make God out to be? See, some of you have actually made God into something he's not. The one true living God. You actually have an understanding of him that's wrong. And even that has turned into an idol. You've turned God into a, if I pray this, then this happens. I only kind of need you when I need you. When I need you, I'll come and talk to you. That's when I'll be in communication with you. Otherwise, you kind of stay up there. You do your thing. I do my thing. What is that? That's you're the God who's controlling some other thing. You're the God. And in the West, especially, I mean, everywhere, but that is one of the idols we struggle with, I think, more than anything else, is the idol of self. Who do you make God out to be? Who is this God that we're kind of talking about? See, because you can't see him. You know, when we're here, we come to the church, 10 o'clock, and we're not here to, like, see God. And so it's like, you can't see him. And so it's like, we're trying to get that figured out in our minds. And so part of us likes the idea of little gods we can control so that we can kind of move from one God to the other God and this kind of this to this. And so we kind of ask the question like, okay, well then which God are you talking about? See, if everything can become a God, which it can, that's what Romans 1, which I'm not going to get into it today, but essentially Romans 1 is all about God giving good. See, idols aren't usually bad things. Idols are usually good things turned into the ultimate things. Do you follow that? That's huge. I mean, I stole that from somebody. That's not out of my brain. They're usually just, they're good, they're the gifts from God oftentimes that we simply turn into the ultimate things. Your job's not bad, TV's not bad, money's not bad. It's when they begin to be the thing. And that movement, that moment when that happens, that is so subtle. Oftentimes, you don't even know it happened. Oftentimes, this is why you need somebody to come alongside you and say, hey, man, I think you've turned this good thing into a bad thing. You've turned this good thing into this ultimate thing. And so what are we talking about? What is John, when he says what he says here? What's he saying? Who is the one true God? This is fascinating. This is actually kind of shocky a little bit. Look at how he ends. And we are in him who is true, in his son, Jesus Christ. He, now the antecedent there in the Greek is a little bit up for debate. Is he talking about God the Father here, or is he talking about Jesus here? In one sense, it doesn't matter. Because in the grammatically here, you could kind of go either way. As you read through 1 John, as you read the Gospel of John, and John wrote the Gospel of John as well, ultimately, grammatically, the Greek, the best reading is that this is actually the antecedent of he is the true God, is Jesus. Which means John is clearly one of the last books of the Bible to be read. John is clearly articulating to his people, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Is Jesus the Son of God? Yes. Is Jesus God? Yes. And he's clearly laying out. He's the one who's from the beginning, 1 John chapter 1. We don't have it here. He's the one who's from the beginning. And look at this. Who is this Jesus guy? I'm looking at chapter 5, verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. He is the one where life comes out of him. And look at 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Who is this Jesus? See, for John, he's the one they touched. He's the one they heard from. He's the one who they sat next to him. He's the one who put his arm physically around them. He's the one who came and they saw hanging up on a cross. Who is this ultimate, true, amazing, awesome God? He's the one who they saw him be put into a tomb. He's the one who came out of the tomb and met them in an upper room. He's the one that ate food and broke bread with them. He's the one who came. He's the promised one who came. He came in the flesh, the God man, 100% God, 100% man. That is who this God is. There is no other. And so if you want something tangible, if you want something like God show up, then know he did, he has, and he continues to work in those kinds of ways even today. And he promises to one day return. We'll see him. We'll behold him. Behold, that's a weird word. And it's my own eyes will see it. That's huge. I'm talking about things deeper than what kind of initially is being heard maybe, but dwell on that. Who is this God that I should keep as number one? Jesus Christ. You shall have no other gods before me. There will be no other than Jesus. When you begin to get confused, and sometime I'll maybe preach on the Trinity, okay? Our God is a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When you begin to get confused on, I can't grasp that, that's huge. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. You understand that? Maybe not. Let that wrestle with that a little bit. Well, yeah, but which Jesus? The one who 2,000 years ago walked the land a couple thousand miles away. He was walking in the flesh. What is it? 1 John. That's how he lays it out there. There is no other. This is the one. This is how he ends his gospel. Remember Thomas? Remember doubting Thomas? What does he say at the end? My Lord and my God. John is doing the same thing as he's doing in his gospel. It's all about this Jesus guy. You don't know where to look. You don't know where to turn. Turn to him. Focus your attention on him. Find all of your value. Find your identity in him. Find your peace and security in him. The other stuff, let it be good stuff that comes from him. Keep a posture focused on him, giving thanks and praise and honor and glory to him, and just let all that other stuff just come. Just receive it, what he'd have for you. Just receive it. And turn your attention to him. And so when hey, good job, you're really successful. It's him. He did that. Well, good work over here. Good job. Man, that's really cool. It's him. He's the one. He's the one. He's the one. And I keep my focus in on Jesus Christ. No other gods. And I watch the Packer game and I do so with joy. But I care. I get sucked into it. And I like it. But I'm not going to let the Packers lose into the Vikings, which would suck. That would be so brutal today. But that's not my ultimate identity. That's not my ultimate identity. That's not what I'm caught up in with everything I got. I'm not going to let my family become my ultimate identity. I love my kids like crazy, but I love Jesus more. And I tell them that. They know that. And when your kids come and look at you and say, hey, Dad, I love you, but I love Jesus more, that's what I want to hear. That's right. You got the right perspective. That's exactly right. Keep focused in on Him. Keep your attention in on Him. Our God loves you like crazy. He died for you. He rose from the dead for you. He promises to return to make all things new again. Look at what our God has done for you. He's brought you out of exile. Don't have any other gods. Give some serious thought to where maybe you're flirting with some of that. Let's repent of that and apologize to the God of the universe and say, I'm sorry that I've allowed my body image or my TV or my job or my kids. I am so sorry that I would allow them to be put over you. I'm sorry that I've made myself bigger and greater than you. I'm sorry, Lord. And I lay that again in repentance at your feet. I'm sorry. Let's actually do that right now. Let's do that. And just go before the God of the universe. Are you kidding me? The creator of all? Lord Jesus, we come before you right now and we bow, not necessarily our knees because we're sitting, but we bow our hearts before you. We bow our hearts before you and we repent of our sin right now. We are sorry, Lord, for where we have turned these things that are good things, where we've turned them into the ultimate thing. And we apologize. We are sorry. We are sorry for where we've done that. Lord, if there's somebody that can't think of something, maybe it's not there. Okay, great. Maybe it's you. Maybe they just are focused in on you right now. But where that person is this morning who can't conjure up something and they can't recall, but it's actually there, there's a weed growing there, please reveal that to them. Please reveal that to them, Lord. Let that thing, let that idol emerge by the working of your Holy Spirit, that it might be crushed, that it might be thrown down, that it might be destroyed in their life. Jesus, these little idols that we have, we take them right now and we push them away. We don't want them to be more than you. We're sorry for where we've done that, Lord. We're sorry. We love you, Jesus. You are our Almighty God. You are our King. You are our King, the King of the universe, the Creator. We wouldn't even be able to breathe right now if you said, no more breathing. So we just want to keep that posture like that in front of you, Lord. We love you. We're just here now. Just that we're reminded, Lord, of your forgiveness. We're reminded of that, of your incredible love for us. Thank you that you do forgive us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. Know that. Believe that. Trust that. Trust his word. Trust his promises. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. So good to be in the house of the Lord with you. It's so good to be here. It's so good to just kind of be refreshed. I know this morning was really good for my soul, and I'm so thankful for that. However, we don't stay here forever, do we? We're like here for an hour, and then we go out of here. Then we leave here. May you go back. May you go back out, keeping your focus on Him this next week. As you're surrounded by idols, you are surrounded by it. You are surrounded by feelings for it. May you be attentive. May you be watchful. May our God bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he look upon you with favor. May he give you his peace this next week and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.